stocks, bonds, ETFs, straight out of downtown Chicago. This is Zach's Market Edge.
Welcome to Zach's Market Edge, the podcast about investing in your life. I'm your host, Tracy Reinick, and today I'm joined by Dave Bartosiak, the editor of Zach's Momentum Trader, to talk about the hottest topic in investing so far this year, and maybe for the next coming years. We don't know. That's what we're going to talk about, but it is the small caps. Now, they've staged a huge, I call it historic rally in November, with the Russell 2000 rallying 15 straight days. That's the longest streak in a row since 1996 for the small caps. And we all remember what was happening in 1996. Remember Greenspan's irrational, exuberant comment? He made it in December of 1996, so at the end of that year. So everything was super hot then. Stocks continued to remain hot for the next couple of years after that. Of course, there's no guarantee, but can they do it again? Are we seeing similar conditions? If I'm not in the small caps, should I be in them? Should I get in now? I have all these questions, Dave. I have some more stats about the 15-day rally. It was up 16.5%. That's its best performance ever during one of these streaks. It has had four other streaks of at least 15 days or longer. Its longest streak ever was 19 days. That was in 1985. And then if you look and see what happened after these streaks, because we all want to know, like, did it keep going or, you know, did things stay hot? A month after the prior four streaks, Russell was up on average 2.4%, and it was up all four of those times. I don't know. That sounds pretty optimistic, Dave, don't you think?
Like, yes, it does.
You know, obviously the past performance is not an indicator of the future, mm-hmm. but four out of the last five times we've had one of these streaks, they kept being hot. So I kind of like it. I like the small caps here. I've been waiting for this for over a year to break out. I didn't think we'd break out like this. I don't think anybody did. But I was waiting for that breakout to new all-time highs for the smalls. And now we've gotten it and it's off to the races.
Yeah, for the longest time, the small caps were lagging, which is surprising if you think in terms of risk on, risk off. So the risk on trade was there, but now we know that, okay, so the NASDAQ was leading the way for a while, and it was risk on through tech, but really that was, I guess you could say the FANG stocks had a lot to do with that, but it was a rally into these big tech names. And it wasn't necessarily the market looking for higher beta plays. We know that because the small caps didn't really participate. So again, now we're really excited seeing this small cap rally here. And I think that is confidence in our domestic economy.
Right. Everybody keeps talking about that, about the small caps being domestic focused, and it's all about the U.S. economy with the small caps. But why is that? Is it just because, you know, they do tend to be domestic companies? The smaller the company, haven't branched out anywhere.
Multinational corporations that are getting their business from overseas. The vast majority of their business is done in the U.S.
Yeah, I was looking at what the makeup is of, like, say, the Russell 2000. I was looking at the iShares, the IWM ETF, which most people are in when they want to just buy, you know, the Russell 2000. They buy the IWM. And the number one holding in there is the financials, and that's about 19% of the index. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised that we've seen this kind of rally because everyone has suddenly been buying the financials. That's been one of the hottest sectors in this month of November. So if that's 19% of the entire index, it's going to give a big boost there. But there were a few other areas I was kind of surprised at in the index when I looked through to see what was in there. The industrials is the third largest group, which I never really think of, you know, small cap industrials, but that was almost 15%. And then even real estate, that was about 7.6% of the index. And energy, I was surprised to find it's almost
small.
Nothing. Yeah. Even though there are a lot of small energy plays, but apparently there's just too many of the big guys.
Right.
So it's only a little over 3%. And then consumer staples is about 2.9%, I guess. And that's not really surprising because that would be like Procter & Gamble making the toothpaste. Like the small guys don't really make many consumer staples. And then telecom, you're not really going to see any big, you know, phone companies or utilities as small guys. So that's the smallest of the sectors. But what do you make of, like, you know, the industrials and some of these areas? They could do well, you know, in 2017 if we get this, like, big infrastructure play.
Definitely what we've seen in the initial stages of the Trump rotation, money going to financials, industrials, and surprisingly, healthcare. We talked about that a little bit off the podcast.
We did.
Off the air.
But why is the healthcare, why is that suddenly?
Well, it's surprising because you'd think with repeal and replace of Obamacare, as has been promised, that healthcare would take a hit.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of the smaller drug companies, or the drug companies in general, that had concerns about a witch hunt on Capitol Hill, essentially, that was going to limit their pricing power on a lot of these drugs. So it's a relief trade that, okay, that's not going to happen. So it's less of a stamp on the health of their business and more just a recovery, just kind of a fade of a trade that got set up heading into the election, where everybody sold those thinking that Clinton was going to win.
Right.
So I think that's a little bit different from the actual bullish Trump rotation that's happening in the financial sector and in the industrials.
Okay, so if I'm not in the small caps, if they scared me for the last couple of years, and they have been underperforming, I looked at the chart of the IWM going back over 10 years, like the yearly returns, and then I looked at just the SPY ETF.
Sure.
To compare it against the bigger caps. So last year, the IWM finished down 4.3%. The SPY was up, but barely, only 1.3 there, but it did finish higher. 2014 SPY, big time outperformance. It was up 13.5%, whereas the small caps were only up 4.9%. 2013 was a great year for both big cap and the smalls. Smalls
right.
did outperform that year, up 38%. That's like mm-hmm. stunning, versus 32 for SPY. But, you know, the last 2 years, we have seen this underperformance.
Right.
And so I'm wondering, should I be getting in if I'm not in it at all, or if I was really counting on those big caps because they have been so solid? Is it too late for me to get in there? Or is it just volatility? That's how the small caps are. Even if I looked at this 10-year thing, you're up like 27% 1 year, down 4% the next. Like, it's
right.
pretty volatile year by year.
It's definitely more volatile than the large caps, but there's kind of a cyclical relationship between the leadership and the market of, is it the small caps leading or is it the large caps leading? So I would argue that up until November 4th, that the small caps certainly were not leading.
No.
So
lagging.
Certainly lagging. So here we are, you know, 3 weeks later. Did the market change
reverse.
That much in 3 weeks?
Yeah.
That now all of a sudden it's too late to get into these?
But you don't think so,
obviously. It's tough to say that this entire trend has developed and now faded off in 3 weeks when you're talking about small caps.
Yeah.
We're not talking about like, oh, hey, the printing stocks are hot or, you know, it's an entire
right.
swath of the market.
Yeah.
So I think trends take a lot longer to develop than people realize. And so this is something that is going to stick around for a little bit. It's not just a flash in the pan, and it's not a 15 trading day rally that's just done.
Okay. So should I wait for some kind of pullback?
Now, okay, you're assuming
what does
that
mean?
Is money on the sidelines, or like, where is this
money
coming
from? Yeah, these people aren't in anything. They were scared. Maybe they went into cash before the election results. And
sure.
now they're like, oh, crap. I was out. But now what do I do?
Right.
Do I get into this kind of hot area?
The thing is, if you want to find something to be afraid of, you're going to always find something to be afraid of.
That is true.
Within the small caps, large caps, wherever it is. So
have to have more of a stronger stomach to be in these small caps. I mean, if you look at just this year alone, they were down 17% in February. They're
yeah.
getting crushed on. I mean, we know we couldn't keep any small caps in any of our portfolios. They were just getting beat up. And then that turned, I mean, it's literally a 40% move, basically.
Yeah, that move from basically December, the beginning of December of last year, down to the February lows
yeah.
was brutal.
Awful.
Brutal. Being the momentum guy, trust me, I got the full
yeah.
brunt of that.
Yeah.
And that was frustrating to see. But since then, you know, you could, I mean, you could get cute about this, right? And you could wait for a pullback.
Yeah.
In the hopes that it does show up. But there's no guarantee that that pullback happens.
Right.
Over the short term, right? I mean, eventually, we always see a pullback. But I guess it depends on your time frame, really. If you're going out 20 years, then you're splitting hairs.
Right.
But if this is sort of a shorter term trade for you, yeah, I think I want to see what's kind of developing now. So this week, yesterday, finally,
the streak ended.
Runs out of gas.
Yep.
And we saw a lot of the stocks that were benefiting from the Trump rotation sell off. So today, the market's up, but I haven't seen if some of these, you know, Trump rotation stocks. I wish I had a better name for that too.
Yeah.
Trump wrote the Trump rotation. I couldn't figure it out, so I haven't coined a phrase.
Okay.
Anyway, how have those stocks done today?
They're just kind of sitting there.
Yeah, because I saw where
I feel like they've petered out a little bit here.
And now the money's kind of, I think, so the initial phase of everybody loading up on those stocks has stopped.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit overcooked, but the market in general will likely go higher.
What about the financials? Everybody was pouring into those as well the last 3 weeks. Is that over too, or for now?
Yeah, they're putting an awful lot of faith in the Fed.
They want those interest rates to rise.
Right.
That's what they're betting on.
I think
on.
It'll be more aggressive here with Trump in office.
Yeah.
That's a trade I'd be looking to fade a little bit.
Okay.
Because I think it just went too far. Bank of America's over $20 right now.
Yeah. Some of the big cap banks have really poured it on.
Yeah.
Jamie Dimon knew what he was doing. He bought all of his own stock back in February. He bought, you know, $26 million worth of JP Morgan.
So he's doing all right.
that was very wise move at that point.
Yeah.
But all the banks, there's been a lot of insider buying on a lot of these banks. So I still like the banks. I guess I'm not, looking a little bit longer term than just
you're also
the
looking
next
at the
weeks.
Smaller ones too.
Yes. I brought at least one to talk about today.
So you're not talking Bank of California, are you?
No. Is that on your list?
I've had it before.
Yes, we've talked about it on another podcast.
We've talked about it before. Yeah.
But then stuff has happened in between our discussion, Dave.
Yeah, and the stock went from like 23 in August down to 10.
It was not good. I had to sell it out of the value investor.
Now it's at 15.
I know. It's rebounded. Should we talk about it right now? Let's talk about it. Like, why do you like it? Other than I liked it before because it, like, let's talk about Bank of California. Its ticker is BANC. And it is the biggest regional bank now in California. And it has a little bit over 10, I think it's even 11 billion under assets, under management. So it's now going to be highly or more regulated than those that are under 10 billion. That's like the cutoff. So I liked all of that. It was cheap when I got into it in the value investor. And the last time we talked about it, it was still, you know, even at 20, it was not overpriced,
right.
But then it had this big plunge down, and it did because it was under attack from the short sellers. And some of them had a lot of questions about management, and there was this issue even before the short selling attack about purchasing of the soccer stadium naming rights, which does get me
like
a little
the kiss
worried.
Of death, right?
It was $100 million for soccer stadium name, not even baseball, Dave, or football. Soccer, and that seemed like a little bit like management didn't really know what they were doing. And now there's been some calls from some people on the board to put different board members on. And so there has been some of this chaos, but you still like it.
Well, let's put it this way. The EPS numbers haven't dropped dramatically.
No.
But the growth from 2016 to 2017 has evaporated.
Okay.
So that's not there anymore. They just had a really decent earnings report.
They did.
And that's when the stock bottomed out.
Right.
So this is a stock that was $23, went down to 10, had a big earnings report, and now it's on the move. So that's what I like about it.
Yeah, the earnings were solid. Yeah. They came out with the earnings a few days early because everybody was panicking.
Yeah. So I think this is one of those trades where I look at it and say, okay, it's maybe that selling, like you said, the short selling was a little too far too fast, and the stock can recover. But it already has sort of recovered.
Yeah,
you know, bouncing off of the lows, but it's something to keep an eye on. If the analysts start to revise their EPS estimates,
okay,
you could become bullish very fast on this.
Now,
but it's a hold right now.
Right, right. Oh yeah, definitely. I told people that were in Value Investor, you know, you're going to have patience with that, and it's going to be a longer term story of a couple of quarters here until like investor trust is restored, and you know things figure out with the board and all of that.
Sure.
So,
and if you want some excitement, 2017 is going to be the year of looking at interest rates on the long end of the curve.
It is.
It's going to be bonkers.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see a lot of volatility here in these banks as a result, but it's going to be fun.
Okay. Another bank that I like, since we're talking about the banks, is called the Bancor. This is a real small one. Almost nobody's probably heard of this one. Its ticker is TBBK. It's out of Wilmington, Delaware. It has 15 locations and a market cap of around only $400 million. Doesn't pay a dividend. This year's been a bit of a struggle. They're supposed to see a loss of $1.42, but a big turnaround, hopefully, coming up next year. And the interest rate story should help a bank like this, because this is just lending money out to small businesses, you know, and all of that. The regional guys are the ones that are going to be helped if the Fed starts raising here. So it is up off its lows like any of these banks. But I do kind of like these small regional ones. And you can find ones in every region of the country you're in, basically. Some are smaller than others. I've been looking at some with a market cap of only like $80 million. Those are the real like micro cap banks. But these slightly bigger, and then you can go up to like 1.5 to 2 billion market cap banks. That seems like a really kind of sweet spot right now for banking stocks, I feel.
Yeah, I was trying to remember, didn't Eric have an ETF?
For micro?
For smaller banks?
I thought there is like one for like the micro guys or, regionals, but smaller things. Does he have it in there?
That's not in his portfolio. No, here it is. Bank ETF.
Yeah. What is it? What's the ticker?
KRE.
Yeah. That's the regional one. The
regional banking.
Yeah. I also own the IAT. That's a second regional ETF, banking ETF. So yeah, we've liked both of these, but you will get some of the big guys in both of those, like KeyCorp.
Sure, KeyCorp's here, Regions Financial, Fifth Third, Citizens
those
Financial.
Those are bigger,
Huntington,
a lot bigger.
Huntington's smaller, right?
Yeah, there's a few, yeah.
HBAN.
Yeah, but those are like, you're talking multi-billion dollar market cap with a bank like KeyCorp. Nothing wrong with that. I do like those regional guys too. So yeah, there's a couple ETF ways to play it. What other small caps have you brought me? I have another one, but not in banking. Do you have any other banks?
No banks.
No other. Okay. What else? What are your key small cap areas?
Still anything semiconductor related.
Oh, you're still into the semis, huh?
The chips are in
fuego
right
now. Yeah, they're on fire.
Across the board.
So who would be a name in that? A small cap.
So if we look at IPHI, Infi.
Have you been adding these to Momentum Trader?
So this Infi has been in home run since forever.
Okay.
Since Bolin ran it.
Wow. So a couple of years.
Yeah. And it's done very well. It continues to do well because there's...
What is their area? Do you know? I always get confused with the semiconductors and I always have to look them up because each one has its own specialty. And, it could be like the drone semiconductors like the Ambarella, or it could be the ones that go into the video games, or it's like the car ones.
Right. So this is more like networking chips for telecommunications transport systems. Right?
Yeah. Well, this is
moving data quickly.
IT is the second biggest area in the small cap index.
Yeah. And there is one that's not the actual the chip itself, but they make these chips, it's like, how do I explain this without saying?
I don't know.
They help in the manufacturing process.
Okay.
Okay.
So, it always seems so weird whenever I look at the descriptions on these.
Because you don't have to necessarily be the chip
that's
running the show, but you can help them build that chip.
Right.
So that's another way to play this. And it's less volatile. It should be less volatile.
Yeah. What's that company?
So this is Ultra Clean. UCTT.
Yeah. I've heard of these guys before. The name kind of makes sense when you think about what they do.
Yeah. Ultra clean.
Yeah.
Pristine.
Right.
And that industry is in the manufacturing machinery, semiconductor, electronics industry is in the top 9% of our Zacks industry rank right now.
Okay.
So you got a hot industry and some very, very hot companies inside of there.
Yeah.
And there's several other tickers in this. BRKS, Brooks Automation.
Okay.
MKS Instruments, which is MKSI.
Okay.
These are all smaller companies.
Right,
also.
Right. you really have to go kind of look around and do some research to find these small caps. That's the thing. They're not like FANG stocks where they just like, oh yeah, of course we all know what Amazon does.
Right.
Because I have a retailer that I just added to the insider trader because some of the insiders have been buying it that a lot of people probably have never heard of, even though it's been around a couple decades. And it only has a 216 million market cap.
Oh,
so
tiny.
It's small, but it has over 700 stores. So the name of it is Tuesday Morning. And you would only know if you've ever been in one, then I see a look
been
on your
there.
Face, Dave. So you've been in one.
Oh, yeah.
I've been in them, too. But a lot of people have never
my
heard
mom,
of it.
My
yeah, my
aunt,
mom.
Like,
I know.
They love these places. And I'm like, ugh. Like, they used to drag me there when I was a kid. And I hated it because
right.
I didn't have anything cool. And then as I got older, now it's like, oh, wait, there's actually some cool stuff in
here. Yeah, there is. And they do a lot of home goods
yeah.
items. So they'll have some rugs, lamps, bedding, picture frames,
toys. Good luck
toys.
Finding a cashier.
Well, they've been improving in some of these areas, yes, because they have had problems.
You have to,
they used
like, hunt
to be
them down.
Yeah, and they used to be in like kind of the crappy strip malls and like the cheapest areas, and you'd have to go like down some weird street to
right.
find it. But that's how they kept their costs lower. But they've
sure
been improving in the store quality and all of that, and they did just have a good quarter last quarter. The same store sales were up 5%, which is great for them. And home goods is kind of a hot category now. Like, people have some extra spending money and they want to buy the mirror, the new lamp. They want their home to look more attractive, and they have a lot of these items there.
Right.
So they only made 8 cents in 2015. They're supposed to make 8 cents again this year. But next year, supposedly, hopefully, 58 cents. So huge earnings growth if it happens. They're kind of in a turnaround mode. They're not cheap, forward P of 60, but they are growing. The insiders have all bought in there. It is under $10, so it's super volatile stock. The ticker is TUES for Tuesday. And so we'll kind of see what happens with them. But the insiders have been buying in there because shares got real cheap there. And they still are pretty cheap, like in terms of their, you know, 52-week low area.
Sure.
And people hated the retail. So a small caps like this, small cap retail might not be a bad play here with the consumer, you know, starting to heat up. We're seeing some real good numbers coming out of the holiday shopping already.
I think you got to be very careful which one of those retailers you mess around
you
with.
You do.
So anybody that you associate with, you know, being, you know, a big store at the mall.
Right.
Do not buy them.
Well, yeah, the big department stores.
Yeah.
That's an area has been struggling. And apparel, like Tuesday Morning has almost no apparel. It has a little bit, maybe.
Right.
Occasionally they carry some bathrobes and pajamas and stuff. But for the most part, they're not selling you your jeans or anything.
No, like little things like this, I think, are going to be good. And kind of up-and-coming sort of stores and locations. So how about Ralph Lauren?
Yeah, like the more niche players.
Yeah, for sure. Although not all of them. Because like I said, I would not be a fan of Michael Kors here.
I know. We've talked about that. Well,
it's
next,
just trends. The
next
trends
week, Maddie and I are going to talk about it. Yeah.
You guys are going to talk about it. I'll be on the outside.
I'll save you.
In.
Right. So, yeah, I do like some of these retailers. So keep, you know, the small cap retailers like Tuesday Morning, you know, look around your neighborhood and kind of see what's going on. There's probably some small cap restaurants. Those have been kind of beaten up, but I don't know. I'd have to really dig into some of those. But some of those regionals.
I know. I don't know. It's just...
Well, they're having some wage inflation and all that, too.
I just never want to be a hero, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to be the smartest person in the room that picks that one stock
in
a beat-up industry that's going to stick there. I don't have that ego.
So do you like the ETFs better, then? You must at this point. Like, if I'm going to do the small caps, because it's so hard with the small caps, because it is. It's like, you know, it's picking the one. It's like that game at the arcade where you stick the thing and you try to get the prize out with a claw.
Oh, yeah, the claw
thing. Yeah, the claw thing, and you never get the good
guys. I almost got a lobster in Vero Beach, Florida with that claw.
Wow.
I was so close.
What happened?
It fell.
Oh. So what did you get instead?
Nothing.
Oh.
And it was like 10 bucks, too. And if you caught them, then they would cook the lobster for you.
Oh.
And this is a big guy.
Wow.
I almost had him.
Dang.
He shook loose.
That's an advanced claw thing.
I know.
Okay.
I just wasn't advanced.
But
enough.
That's what this reminds me of.
I'm going to get them next time.
Yeah, it's like you could get the one big winner, but you might not. So
well, that's why you got to buy a few.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Got to buy a few.
And then hope.
And maybe
and then
not
keep the fingers crossed.
You could do the ETF route, but I guess with the banks, I like the ETF route.
Yeah.
But, you can be kind of, you know, if you do your research, this is where you can kind of get a leg up. I mean, I don't mean to be the smartest guy in the room in terms of finding a beat up sector and finding the one stock I want to do.
Right.
But if it's a sector that's hot, then I could go ahead and try and find one or two of the good names.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to fight the whole, the tide of the market.
Right.
By going into kind of a beat up space. I would, but then that's me, the momentum guy, right?
I try to find the hot areas. Okay, so let's recap the stocks that we talked about. We talked about a couple of the banks. We have BANC and TBBK. And we talked about some semis, IPHI and UCTT. And then we had the regional bank ETFs, KRE or IAT. And then we talked about Tuesday morning, TUES. And you can also just buy the bigger index, the iShares Russell 2000, which is IWM. So these are some good ideas. And I have a feeling we're going to be talking some more about the small caps, you know, in 2017 for sure. This is the area to watch. And I'm excited about that because, like I said, I've been waiting over a year now to see this breakout. And I feel like it's real positive for the overall market. And it's real bullish. So
it's here.
We'll see. So that's it from here. And Dave has a lot of articles on the site on Zacks.com you can check out if you're interested in reading some more about what his favorite picks are. And then he also has Momentum Trader and Home Run Investor on the site. And you can do a trial on any of those through the Zacks Ultimate trial. You can click on the links to this article and you'll see some free trials there. And you can also check out my services the same way, the Value Investor or the Insider Trader, if you're interested in what the insiders are doing. Both of those are available, as well as all the other podcasts we've done on SoundCloud and on Zacks.com. So until next week, I'll see you then.